second mission or Masechet. On Daf Testament base starts with Kol Shechavti Vishnu Rasso Hechsharti Es Nisko. Okay, we're not exactly sure what either half of this sentence means. Rashi gives us two pshatim in the second half of this sentence. Either Hechsharti Es Nisko, I caused the hezek, but I prepared the hezek. In a bad way. I was mashed to the nezek. Then, so whenever I should have watched it and didn't, or whenever I didn't watch it, I am responsible for the hezek. Yeah?
What's this language of ani? I mean, it's a very strange language. It's, I don't understand what it's talking about. I've never seen any.
It is a great question. Usually we don't have that lashon in Mishnayos. I don't really have an answer. You have to ask the Chokrim somehow. But remember, we did have a theory that these Mishnayos at the beginning of Bava Kamma were non-standard Mishnayos, right? They were sort of preservations of ancient formulations, and maybe this was some sort of ancient pitgam that just like the weird words made it in, like mave. Maybe also ancient pitgamim made it into this Mishnah because these Mishnayos, at least the beginning of Bava Kamma, later on in Bava Kamma, it's normal again. Even the next Mishnah is also very weird. Shom kesef, shavu kesef, if they bezdin, v'al pi edin, you know, all kinds of strange formulations. So maybe just these are strange Mishnayos because they are some ancient Masorahs instead of written in the standard derech of the Tanaim. But I don't really know. It's a good question. Okay, so Rashi has two deos here. What Hechsharti Es Nisko? One opinion, which what all the other Rishonim say, is I'm responsible for causing the hezek, right? Hechsharti Zimanti also hezek. Shlosh, I caused the hezek. Excuse me. Kach Batzati. But the other day is I have to fix the hezek. Not talking about what happened up to the moment of hezek, what happened afterwards. Whenever I am responsible for the hezek, I have to fix it afterwards. Okay, alright, these two, we discussed this at the very beginning of the year in a different context. These two Lashonos, you know, one could certainly say they're just arguing in terms of parshanot, of the semantics of the words. It's possible, although, you know, I'm not claiming machrach, but it's possible to tie this into a fasting chakira of the Machni Ephraim, which a lot of the Echron don't like this chakira of the Machni Ephraim. They think it's very poshut one way. But the Machni Ephraim has a fascinating question where he, well, even before perhaps we get to the Machni Ephraim, because he doesn't make this chakira very explicitly. Fasting chakira, what is the obligation of a mazik? Is the obligation of a mazik to pay the monetary loss or to fix the damage? Clearly, there's a mainstream opinion here, which is to pay the monetary loss. After all, meitav sadeo meitav karmi mishalei, sounds like we're just talking about paying money or items of value. And we'll see also the, okay, we get the Machne Ephraim. But Yesh Makam Lachkor, is the obligation to pay money, or is the obligation to fix what is gone to replace the broken object? And perhaps, yes?
Doesn't Meitav show the other way to a certain degree?
And Meitav, after all, if by Meitav we mean what? Rapapa, what? Which other way?
If you say that it's like liquid.
In order to precisely. On the one hand, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karmi Mishalei, we're not talking about fixing what was damaged. We're talking about giving him something else instead. So give him something nice instead. But as Shlomo points out, no, if the point of Meitav is just you can easily liquidate it and use the money for what you need, then maybe it's just a way to replace what is broken. This might be the issue, and this would perhaps fit in to these two Pinyushim in the Mishnah. If you say that the obligation is to pay money, or the obligation is to fix what is wrong, to replace what is broken. If, say, the obligation is to pay money, then Hechsharti Es Nisko means it's my fault, and then I pay money. if you say the obligation to fix what's broken, then it's my obligation to be masher, to fix what is broken. I can fix what is broken by paying money. Everyone agrees I can pay you cash. But the reason I'm paying you cash is that's the way to fix what is gone.
Rabbi, how do we learn Rashi? Rashi seems to be straddling on both sides of the fence. Because Rashi says,
right, so I have to fix what is broken. How do I fix what is broken? By paying money. Because no one has a shibud aguf, meaning no one thinks you are physically, personally obligated to get out there and fix the guy's broken window. It is enough to pay money. The point is, when I pay money, what am I doing? Am I paying money because I owe you money, like a debt, or am I paying money as a way of fixing your broken window? I can just fix your broken window through paying money. So, maybe yesh makom lachkor, the chiyuv of a mazik, is it to pay for the financial loss, or is it to fix the nezek? And nafkamina, quote unquote, although not a practical issue, could very well be the two pirushim in our Mishnah. Of course, lav davka. Someone could take the first page from the Mishnah and still go either way they want. But how about the page of Hicharti es nizko? You would say alai mitaking hanezek, which is the second shem Rashi, or you would say zimanti and hanezek or hanezek, whatever it may be. You know, if all I have to do with that, I'm not fixing what's. I'm not fixing what I broke. What is hechsharti? I mean, that just means it's my fault. If you say I'm fixing what broke, then hechsharti is nizko, means alai lahachshir es ha nezek. This might very well be the yesod of the famous machlokes in Hilchos Toin v'Nitzan between the Rambam and the Ravid and the Rashba. Now, the following case, right? I claim that you dug two holes in my yard, not useful ones. And yeah, I don't know, each hole is like $100 damage, whatever it may be. You admit to only one hole. So is that a case of motive mixas? Is there shvus motive mixas? Is there not shvus motive mixas? So that depends. There's shvus motive mixas in metalfalin, and we all know there's no shvus motive mixas on avodin, shtaros, and relevant for our purposes, karkos. So is this a machlokas about karka, or is this a machlokas about metalfalin? On the one hand, we're talking about digging holes in my karka. On the other hand, you are going to pay me. You're going to pay me cash, lechora, at least. So says the Rambam very clearly in Hilchos Toin v'Nitzan. Shatano shechofer shtei ma'oros v'hu amar lo chaverti ala achas, etc. Harezen nishbaheses al hakol, because it is karka. Okay, that's the context that you're not chayv shvus u'mikdas on, or any of the shvus, on karka. So the Rambam says this is considered karka. The Rashba disagrees with him radically, and the Rashba says no. Just the one money line in the Shut Rashba, literally, says, it's all a matter of money. You're not arguing about karka, you're arguing about money. And the Ravid has a middle opinion. The Ravid says, it depends. If I'm demanding that you actually come and physically fix my karka, and you admit to half of it, then that's karka. But if I ask you to pay for two damages and you admit one, etc. Okay, so what is the yesod of the machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ravid and the Rashba? One could have understood this in perhaps different ways. You could say that they're arguing about, in general, the most machlokas you can understand in one of two ways. Why? Not just stam, because you want to make chakiras. Because usually the machlokas is like, what happens when you apply category X to case Y? So they're arguing about X or Y. So for example here, you could say perhaps that they're arguing about modem mixas. Is modem mixas about the facts or the results of the case. Right? The facts of the case are that are about karka. I claim you dug two holes and you admit one hole. The results of the case are that you pay me cash, money, which is the talit. I say give me $200 and you admit $100. So you could say, no, they're not having a baba kama machlokas here, they're having a baba metzia machlokas here. Okay, I think in the end that's not the preferred shot of the Rama for reasons that I'll mention in a moment. But if you want to, you could say this is a baba metzia machlokas, not a baba kama machlokas. They're arguing whether the shuas would mix us is about the facts, which are clearly karka, or the result, which is paying money. However, the other way to understand it is that they are arguing about Bava Kama. What is the nature of the chiyuv to pay for Hezek? Right, and that's how the Machne Ephraim certainly understands. The Machne Ephraim on the Rambam, not the famous Machne Ephraim in the Sefer Machne Ephraim just in Yonin, but the Machne Ephraim on the Rambam says here very clearly what's as far as the Rambam. Yes, he's paying money, but his fundamental chiyuv, it's a fascinating formulation, this Machne Ephraim, he says, he's not chayiv to give him money, but to fix what is broken, to fill in the holes and fix what is destroyed. Now, I don't think he can mean this literally. If you break my property, I don't think I could force you to take a day off from work and come fix it with your own hands. You can give me money. I think he means, yeah, but what is the nature of this obligation? Clearly, you're giving me money. That's just an easy way to fulfill your obligation, you know, to make things work smoothly. What is the nature of your obligation? The Rambam says, the nature of your obligation is to fix my karka. That's the nature of your obligation, to fix my karka. And therefore, even the result here is karka. I know you're paying me money, but really what you're doing by paying me money is fixing my karka. Well, the Rashba would then say, no. You just owe me money. You caused me financial loss. You owe me money. You're not fixing the karka.
But you could ask the opposite. What if the guy says, I want to fill the holes up? No, give me the money. I don't care. You could have the
okay, that is a fascinating question. That's a great question. What if the guy wants to fill the holes? Anyone have a chorus up their sleeve about this? I'm pretty sure, I can't say 100%, I'm pretty sure I can't force you to fill in the holes if you're a busy guy. But what if you want to fill in the holes instead of paying money? The hush-up shot is, my intuition is that you'd be allowed to fill in the holes. Might that have to do with the chakira? Perhaps. You could say,
even if not,
you could say once you're undoing what was done, correct, I'm with you there. Anyway, Lamaisa, you could say this question of Ta'an Shechafar Shtei Boros Vehoda Be'achas. Right? The Rambam would say it's considered Tfias Karka. Why is it considered Tfias Karka? As the Machne Ephraim says the Machne Ephraim, because the real Tfias is to fix my Karka. Right? Then Machne Ephraim, right? Mepnei she'etzem hatviya u'tikon hakarka. While the Rashba says no, it's tviyas mamon. No, it's just meaning mamon. I mean maos. Right? I'm just asking for cash. Which is metalin. So it could be that this is what they're arguing about. If the chiyuv is to pay for financial loss, how do I pay for financial loss? I pay primarily with cash. Therefore, it's a tvias metalin. If the chiyuv is to fix the karka, and yes, I can fix the karka by giving you money to fix the karka, I don't have to do it myself, then the Rambam's right, it should be considered a tvias karka. The Ravid is fascinating. The Ravid seems to say that, well, it depends. If I ask you to fix the karka, then that's considered to be a karka. If I ask you to pay money, then that is considered a tvi of money. So it could very well be, maybe the Ravid holds that there are two tracks involved here in Nezek, right? That we can agree. It's unclear in the Ravid who gets to pick which track. right? It's unclear the rabbi who gets to pick which track. He makes it sound like the nizak gets to pick. He makes it sound like the nizak gets to pick. It's very radical. Lamaisa. He makes it sound like the nizak gets to pick. That's a big chiddush. That's what it sounds like. I'm not, just not 100% sure, because that's practically very b'chiddush. But perhaps the rabbi thinks that there are two tracks, that you can either fix what was wrong, or you can pay cash. Or it could very well be you could put the rabbi on the Rambam side. Just that, you know, if we decide to convert it into currency, then already for mitzvah's purpose, that's considered the top one. So let me just point out, what does the Ravid hold here? It says the Ravid, maybe the Ravid, says there are two tracks. There is Tva'o Mechas, Tva'o Latakin. You know, there are two tracks. I could say, pay me the financial loss, or somehow we agree, whatever. Or I can say, and that's considered actual fighting about money, about shekel bills. Or I can say, fix my karka, and then that is considered a fight about a disagreement, an argument about karka. Okay, theoretically, one wanted to say, I think it would be a hard to put the Ravid on the Rashba side here and say, really, all you owe me is money. Then why am I asking you to fix something? And if you say, well, you owe me money, but like, I'll be mocha the money if you fix something, then we're not arguing about fixing something. We're really arguing about money. But perhaps, if you wanted to, you could stick the Ravid on the Rambam side and say, no, really, you owe me to fix the karka. But if we both agree that we'll take money instead, then we've converted it into money, and now it's a machlokas about metaltelin. Yes?
Again, go back. If we look at the two nafkaminas, one is bechlal, a learning machlokas, yes? And
the other is very practical.
The other one is not even practical, except for a very particular case. So, in other words, how we really look at it is not...
Until we get to not the Machmei Ephraim and the Rambam, until we get to the Machmei Ephraim. Now, Agav, let me just point out, I don't want to get into this Rambam too much because we already discussed it once, but I do want to point out it ties into something that we discussed once. The Ravid's Kasha on the Rambam is, he says, Chaval to Bishnayim. And he says, Lo Chaval to Ela Achas is a mode of Mitzas. Okay, one has to go into that Gemara and see whether that's really motivates us. It isn't, but you'll either take my word for it or look into it on your own. It seems to me that's a valid kasha against the Rambam. That at the very least the Rambam holds that a machlok is about Chavala is a chiyuv shul motiv mitzas. Meaning a machlok is about Chavala is metaltalin. Why is a machlok is about Chavala metaltalin, but a machlok is about Hezekarka, karka, according to the Rambam? That's the Ravid's kasha, and the Ravid says, that proves you're wrong. Right? That's his disproof of the Rambam. How do you defend the Rambam against the Ravid's Kasha? So, let's, right, what's the Ravid's Kasha? Trushas. The Ravid is, why is Chavalas Adam considered Metaltalin? Right? Moda v'mitzas. But Moda v'mitzas. The Hezek Karka is considered karkos. Now, there are a few ways you can answer this. One way I'm not going to put on the board is that you could say that no, the right assumption is wrong. Machlot mechavalos adam is not really considered. Machlot mechavalos is not really motive mitzas, but that doesn't seem to be what the Rambam holds, so we'll leave it at that. How do you answer? So there are two main answers for the right kasha. If you assume that his kasha is valid, what's the Magen Mishnah's answer? The Magen Mishnah's answer is that very, very pashut. Because karka is kekarka, that's sort of silly to say, but adam equals metaltalin. And adam is metaltalin, and therefore it's not a good question in the first place. He assumed that adam is karka. Adam is metaltalin, but adam is metaltalin, then it's not a kasha in the first place. Chavala, damage to karka is considered karka. Damage to metaltalin is considered metaltalin. And adam is metaltalin. So let me just save yourself a little better. He says no. Says the Magen Mishnah, damage to X is considered X. Right? Damage to karka is karka, damage to the talpun is talpun. But Adam equals metalplin. Oh, you're going to tell me what counts as karka? Avodin counts as karka. So says my mission, avodin counts as karka. We thought that meant people count as karka. No, avodin counts as karka, but b'nei chorin counts as metalplin. Okay. but Adam, or b'nei chorin, counts as metalplin. An eved is karka, but it's only avodin hooks of the karka. An eved is karka, but a ben chorin is metalplin. Ah, oh, when you damage ben chorin, you evaluate how much he's worth as an eved. Okay, but it doesn't matter. You can evaluate however you like. But be'etzem, a ben chorin is metalplin. You and I are metalplin. Matter of fact, they don't even have a vodim nowadays. So all the people nowadays are metalplin.
We could also say that the Rambam really would say that when mazik adam is adam, but since you're not giving your limb, but you're paying
kofar instead. Okay, good. Let me just point out, the reason why this is not poshut is because there's a big machlokes we've shown whether b'nei chorin are hukash lekarkos or not. Are b'nei chorin hukash lekarkos or b'nei chorin betalton? Machlokes Rashi and Tosos, the Lechem Mishnah here, points out. And he points out the Rambam in other places seems to hold that b'nei chorin are like karkos. So now you can mechalti this aspect of Bnei Chorin and that aspect of Bnei Chorin. Maybe it's a difference if the Ben Chorin is working or he's not working. When he's working, you know. But this is not Pashat, right? As the Lechem Mishnah pointed out, says the Lechem Mishnah, Tzorich Iyun, the Shitas Rambam, Atzmo, Mashma, Bnei Chorin, Kekarka. Okay, and obviously the people who defend the Magen Mishnah wasn't stupid. He also knew the Lechem Mishnah Kasha. But Reb Chaim says another teretz, which is exactly what Ben Sion just pointed out, says Reb Chaim, he says no. There's a difference between Chovel and Mazik. We mentioned this earlier in the year. I have to remember exactly my context. Maybe an Adam Ulu'olam, maybe a different sodia. Was it Adam Ulu'olam sodia? Okay, thank you. Says Reb Chaim, no. Hezek of karka equals karka. But chavalas adam equals maos. Hezek of karka is considered karka, but chavala of adam is only considered a debt of money. Why? So he says, he doesn't say this, but we said it early in the year, the Rambam l'shitase. Remember what the Rambam held about the difference between chovel and mazik? The Rambam writes, first of all, that chovel is a knas. What does a knas mean? A knas means you're not actually like making up for what you did. It's just a punishment. And the Rambam wrote in the beginning of Hilchos Chovel Mazik that really you should lose your limb, right? Really, ayin tach zayin means mamish, right? Really, you should lose your limb. Just you pay a kofar, you can pay a ransom instead of losing your limb. I mean, what does the Rambam hold about different between chovel and mazik? Mazik you can actually fix. Okay, again, I don't mean literally you can always fix it. What if a guy has a one-of-a-kind Ming vase, etc.? Point is, philosophically, we view that as something which can be fixed. Somehow you can get to an equivalent state. Chovel cannot be fixed. Really, ayin tach zayin. If you put out my eye, the only fair thing to do is put out your eye. Why do you pay money? You pay money as a kofar, as a knas instead. So therefore, it says Reb Chaim, he doesn't say all this, he's not putting together all around the shittas, this obviously went in mind. He says, what is the svara? The svara is pashut. Because the payment is to fix the damage. But in chavala, the payment of mazik is to fix the damage. But in chavala, the payment of chovel is not to fix the damage, but an onesh. How do I know the payment of chovel is an onesh not to fix the damage? Because you can't fix the damage. That's not considered something fixable. When you're chovel a person, that is a damage that is not within the realm of money anymore fixing. So why do you pay money? Anyway, you pay money as an onesh. How do I know you pay money as an onesh? Because the Rambam holds this straight through. The beginning of chovel mazik, he says that the reason I pay money is not because ayin tachas ayin means money. Ayin tachas ayin means I deserve a punishment of losing my eye, but I can pay kofar, l'tichud kofar l'nefesh rotzeach, but anyone less than rotzeach can pay kofar. I can pay kofar instead of losing my eye, so it's a punishment, and that's why Kola, Mishnah Torah Kula, he says that it's considered a knas and not mamon, because it's merely a punishment. Okay, so I think Rav Chaim has the best answer to the Rambam's kasha on the Rambam. How come Rambam treats karka different from Adam? It's not that karka, it's not that karka is different from Adam, but chovel is different from mazik. Mazik is something fixable, and chovel is something punishable. And a punishment is just cash. Fixing is karka. You can fix the karka, you can't fix the person, all you can do is pay cash as a punishment.
If we did ayin tachas ayin, that would be considered fixing it?
What?
If we actually did ayin tachas ayin.
No, no, chas v'shalom. That would be, of course not. That's the point, since the Rambam holds we theoretically should do ayin tachas ayin, that shows it's not about fixing, it's about punishing. Just like murder, right? Meaning he's giving chovel to murder, right? If I kill you and they kill me, that doesn't have anything to do with fixing what was wrong, it's just a punishment. So too, if I chop off your arm and I pay money, that's just a punishment. How do I know that's a good comparison? Because the Rambam says, I really should have the same thing happen. Except there's a kula of kofar. And there happens to not be, there could have been a kula of kofar by murder. I think some of the Muslims have that. There happens to not be a kula of kofar by murder, and there happens to be a kula of kofar by chovel. Okay, back to our regular scheduled programming.
The Rambam, though, holds that it depends what it is. If it's Ripui and Sheves, he holds that that's Mamon.
Ripui and Sheves is a different story. Ripui and Sheves is a different story. That's from Parshas Mishpatim by the Avos Nezikin. That's not from Parshas Emor by Chiyuvei Misa. Right? Ripui and Sheves, that's business in a Hanami. Ripui and Sheves is business. It's just dollars and cents in a Hanami. in a Hanami. But we're not talking about that. Okay. The last stuff I want to point out is the Machne Ephraim discussion himself. A lot of Achronim are very offended by this Machne Ephraim. They think not on a deep hashkafic level. They just think that there's a clear answer to his suffix. He had the following suffix. If I break your bicycle beyond mingle it legamri, right? It's worthless, right? Your bicycle costs $100. It so happens that by the time I get around to paying you or you get around to suing me, they had a big sale on bicycles, the price went down, who knows, somehow the shook changed. Now the bicycles are worth $80. How much do I pay you, $100 or $80? If I was a goslin, I think the answer is clear. If I'm a goslin and I steal something from you, how much do I pay you, the amount it was worth? B'shas ha'gzela, mimei kara. As it says in the Kol HaGazlonim, Mishalmim Keshas HaGzela, right? That's the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Bava Kama, which we happen to be learning. What about a mazik? Does a mazik pay Keshas HaGzela, or does he pay what it is worth later? And that's going to tie into a sugya that we'll deal with soon, which is called Pchas Nevela, if the Nevela goes down in value. But according to 90% of Rishonim, that sugya is talking about something else. That comes up in another block. That's talking about if my ox kills your ox, and then the carcass gets spoiled in between. You know, who's responsible for the spoilage? That's not the Machmei Ephraim's question. He's not concerned about physical changes. He's just concerned about market changes, right? When I break a barrel of your wine, do I have to pay how much it was worth when I broke it, or how much it's worth when I replace it? Or at the very least, when you sue me and Beit Din puts a lien on my property. So he says he can't find the answer that's explicitly in Shas. Okay, every Achron has their own shita whether you can find the answer explicitly in Shas or not. and he obviously put two and two together. This sounds like, right, Yukra Vizula. What if it goes up or down in price? This definitely sounds like a nafkin of the same chakira. If the point is to pay the financial loss, then it should be Keshas HaHezek. Push it. I'm not replacing your wine. I'm paying for the financial damage, right? Your accountant, Bishaito, said your net worth used to be X dollars. Now it's X minus $10. I owe you $10, right, however much financial loss that caused you at the time, who cares if the market changes later? At the time, you lost $100, so I should pay you $100. But the Machleir Prime is Masufik. Maybe no. Maybe if I broke your bicycle, let's say it was beyond repair, right? It was garbage, or a bicycle, I guess, as long as it was scrap metal. Make it very, very simple, right? I broke your barrel of wine, and the wine spilled out into the sewer, right? You were out a barrel of wine. My obligation is not to pay you for the financial loss. My obligation is, like the second Pshat Rashi, the Takin is HaNezek, is to replace the barrel of wine. So if the barrel of wine goes up or down, I still have to replace a barrel of wine. In which case, maybe you should say, Kishas Hamad Abedin, or even Kishas, you know what? Kishas HaTashlumin. Right? I have to pay you enough to buy a new barrel of wine. I'll tell you, there is a mainstream opinion here. The mainstream opinion is that most Achronim think the right side, not correct, but Yamin, side of the Schakir, that's Kishas HaHezek. And they bring various rayas, and then they don't come the rayas, and then back and forth, Kedar from Sheldvar. But he points out the Rambam seems to have a very clear Shitas Yachid about this. I don't want to go into, we're not going to analyze together all the different ways of interpreting the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis in Bava Metzia. But there's something about if you break a guy's barrel of wine and you replace it in the Yom HaShuk or you replace it not in the Yom HaShuk, and how much you have to pay for if the price of a barrel of wine is different on a market day and on a regular day. Suffice it to say, if you read Rashi and the other Mefarshim there, and then you read the Ktzos, most of them say what we're dealing with is the question of how much money did he lose? Meaning, what would he have sold his wine for? Okay, however much money he lost, that's how much you have to replace. They're just trying to analyze, you know, how much damage you caused him. Because you can imagine, the guy comes to the shuk with all his wares, etc., he's about to sell them, and you destroy them is very different than destroying them in his warehouse in terms of how much they were worth to him. But the Rambam has a fascinating shita here. Says the Rambam, someone who is shavar chavashal yayin chadvani nischayv l'shalim, it's really a matter of two gersos in the Gemara. The Magen Mishnah points out there are different gersos in the Gemara. Says the Rambam, zero b'yom hashuk chayim l'hafser chavashal yayin l'gisham lo arbav, aval hayilo etc. Yayin machzirin lo hechzir lo b'shar yom machzirin lo shlosha. Okay. If I repay him on a shuk day, I have to give him four. If I repay him on a regular day, I have to give him three. Now, here, it's a little funny, because it's not about how mad he is at me. You know, if I pay him back, let's say it was 3 days till the shuk. If I pay him back on the shuk day, I give him four. If I pay him back the day after the shuk, I give him three, even though he sort of lost the opportunity to get four on the shuk day. It's not a matter of, like, without getting into the ktosa, the garmi of how much I was going for him to lose. Now, okay, what's the point? The point is, and the Rambam, I think, clear, is exactly this chakira. He's exactly discussing the chakira of the Machne Ephraim. How much do I have to pay? The amount it was worth on the day I broke it? Notice, the Rambam couldn't care less what day I broke it. Some of the other Mishnayim say it depends what day I broke it. The Rambam doesn't say it matters what day I broke his barrel of wine. I broke his barrel of wine, I owe him a barrel of wine. On a shuk day, I have to give him four, because that's how much a barrel of wine is worth. On a non-shuk day, I have to give him three, because that's how much a barrel of wine is worth. So the Rambam seems very clear. Rambam, Hilchos Tiros, says how much money I pay him depends on what day I give it back to him. I'm paying him the value on the day I give it back to him. The Rambam's not exactly the question of Stam going up and down. There was a cyclical thing of Yom HaShuk, but seems to be equivalent on a simple level. While many other Rishonim would disagree with the Rambam and say, no, that's not the issue. It doesn't matter when I give it back to him. It matters how much I damaged him in the first place. But the Rambam, according to this, would work very, very nicely, which is exactly what the Machne Ephraim points out. The Rambam Lishitase seems to take the side of the Chakira that my obligation is to replace what's wrong, to fix what's wrong, replace what's missing. And therefore, in two places, A, the barrel of wine, I don't have to pay you a fixed amount of money. have to pay you a barrel of wine, which on some days is called three dinar or whatever, and then some days it's called four dinar. And likewise, the Rambam, when we argue about how much you damage my land, we call them machlokes of karka, not machlokes of taflin, because they're really, as Machne Ephraim says, arguing about fixing the land. Many other Rishonim would say, they don't explicitly address the Rambam's issue, they just have a totally different angle on the sugya, but would say otherwise, and would say, no. The amount of I paid for the barrel of wine has nothing to do with how much it's worth on the day that I break it. Rashi and others are very clear. It's nothing to do with how much it's worth on the day that I break it. It just has to do with how much damage I was going to you at the time I broke it. yes?
I've alluded to this, but in this case, you're right, today you won't be able to buy a new bottle of wine, but tomorrow you will.
Aha, so that's a great question. That's why the Machne Ephraim skips part of the Rambam. The Rambam says, and here's where it gets more complex, the Rambam says, actually depends. Even if I pay you on a market day, if you could wait and buy a barrel of wine tomorrow, then I only have to pay you three. And it depends if you need a barrel of wine today or not, which makes it more complex, but I think the point is clear. And he points out the Magen Mishnah basically says this in Hilchos Chiros. Magen Mishnah says, why did the Rambam disagree with many other Rishonim? And he says, Vakavana Shehem Yesh Lahem L'shalem Lo Chavis Yayim. The reason the Rambam is they have to pay him a barrel of wine, not a certain amount of shekels. So that is pretty clear. He quotes this Magen Mishnah. Okay, he tries to bring many other diukim back and forth. But basically, he doesn't tie this into our Mishnah of Chartias Nisko. Right? That's the one thing Machne Ephraim doesn't say. But I think this famous Machne Ephraim Chakira, whether my obligation is to replace what's gone or to pay you for financial loss, does tie in to these two possible interpretations of Hichsharti es Nisko. Okay, now we're ready to move on. Agav, the Rav, understood. The Rav in the Rishimas here quotes like 10 places in Bava Kamma from his grandfather, Rav Chaim, from the Rav Chaim on this Torah Nitan. Even though Rav Chaim doesn't say in quite so many words, but it does come out of his logic, the Rav Chaim was very, very stark that the chiyav of a mazik is to replace what's broken and not to just pay for a financial loss, based on the Rambam. The Mishnah continues, but we're not going to get into the continuation of the Mishnah because, like, each one will have a line which will have its own Gemara on it, right? Hichsharti mixas nizko, chatri shalmi nizko, kashvam nizko, nechazim shayim beham e'ilu, nechazim shayim beham e'bris, nechazim yuchadim, chal makam, chosim yishuz miyuchaz l'mazik, rishuz hanizik l'mazik, shehizik chal l'mazik, shalmi shalmi nizik, meitav ha'aretz. Okay, well, the Gemara will have a lot to say about each of these lines, and we'll save it for then. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. Kol sheh chavti b'shmiroso hichsharti es nizko, ketzad. Whenever I write somehow about chavti b'shmiroso. So now this braisa, seemingly a tangent from the Mishnah, is going to be chalik between different avos nizikin, meaning shor and bor, l'chad gisa, and hever, or eish, l'chad gisa, in terms of the Shmira, Ketzad. Shor bor shemasr l'chir shod v'katam v'hiziko v'hiziku chayav l'shale mash'en kein be'esh. Okay, shor and bor, even if I give it to a chir shod v'katam to watch it, I'm still chayav. But esh, if I give it to a chir shod v'katam to watch it, I am potter. Okay, why is there this fundamental or not fundamental difference between shor and bor and esh? So here the Gemara asks, the Mayaskina. Elaim, at first the Gemara thinks that it's not logical for there to be a difference. If you say, and they seem to have an assumption, a short kosher and a bor mechusa is like a gachelas. Gachelas means a coal that is not a flame. So that is something which, you know, right now is safe and prevented from damaging, right? What's a coal going to do? You know, someone could, my English vocabulary is not so good about exactly all the things you do with coals. My Hebrew vocabulary wouldn't be good about that either if I relied on what they say in the street nowadays, because we don't use coals that much. But in the Gemara, we know what you do with coals. So what do you do with coals? You stoke the coals to get them to flame, right? Or maybe you can, the Gemara talks about levoy. When you do that thingy thing, you know what I mean? What do you do? We call it enough name, right? We use the bellows. There's probably a verb for that. the Anyway, whatever it is exactly you do, right? So, just like the shore, when it's tied, it's not going to damage unless someone unties it. When the boar is covered, it's not going to damage if someone uncovers it. When a gacheles is just a coal, it is not going to damage unless someone makes it into a flame. No, it must mean a untied ox and an uncovered boar. But then the comparison is shal heves, an actual flame, which is very dangerous. Why should it be potter? Amar ish lakish v'nei d'chizkiyo lo shana lo shmas lo gacheles v'liba v'al shal heves chayev. My time in the bari has eka. Right? After all, ish lakish v'nei d'chizkiyo, that if you give the chayr shotan gacheles and he, whatever the verb that, I don't know what it is, this, he was malabit, he made it into a flame. Then you're potter, but if you give him the shal heves, you're chayev, because it was something very dangerous. Okay. So, what's the answer? We have machlokish, reish lakish, Mishmei Dechizkia and Rabbi Yochanan Le'olam Bishor Kasher or Bar Mechusa Dachvasa Gabe Eish Gacheles. Right, so this is the opinion of Rish Lakish, that the comparison is Shor Kasher or Bar Mechusa to Gacheles. What's the problem? They should both be potter. You had something which was properly guarded. No, the answer is Hacha shor darke lintuke bor darke linture gacheles kamad shavik lama amya amya ve azla. No, a shor, the derech is to break loose of its tying. The bor, the derech is for the cover to come off. But a gacheles, the derech is that it just dies out. As the more you leave it, the more it dies out, and it's not so dangerous. Can I have a volunteer to get the board? Right, so this is the opinion of a Reish Lakish. So now we have to figure out exactly what we mean by shor darke lintuke and bor darke linture, right? If you tie a shor, what do you mean? It's the derech, the shor, break loose. That goes against the whole idea that tying a shor is proper shmira. And we know, if you tie a shor, you're okay. What do you mean the derech of a bor is to get uncovered? No, we know already from the Chumash, right? Then if you cover a boar, that's good enough. And we don't worry that it's going to be uncovered. So here we have a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. What's the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos? No. Did Rashi say anything aroy and not roy? Did Rashi say those words? Or are you giving your own interpretation of Rashi? Just in a pshat, what does it mean, darkel and tuke and darkel and ture? What are the two options?
On its own or with help?
On its own or with help of the chereshot of a katan, exactly. That's the machlokas. Now you can interpret the machlokas however you want. You know, and you'll have support for it. But first we just have to know what they say. And then we have to know how to interpret it. So, what is the difference between, this is Reish Lakish's opinion, right? And Agav, you should know, we paskin like Reish Lakish here. It's a big machlokes Rishonim. The Rif brings two deis, whether we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan or Reish Lakish. Normally, who do we paskin like?
Rabbi
Yochanan, that's a klal. But over here, since Reish Lakish is quoting Chizkiyah, what klal do we use?
The Rav and the Rav.
The Rav and the Talmud. Ain't all like a Talmud, Makom Rav. Chizkiyah was the Yochanan's Rebbe. So, okay, the Rush has a whole argument with an unnamed Yesh Omrim. Do we trust Reish Lakish that Chizkiyah said this? Or do we think Reish Lakish was biased? Okay, a simple shot is that we trust Reish Lakish. No, he might be right, he might be wrong. He's not going to lie to us about what Chizkiyah said. So, therefore, since we trust Reish Lakish, and he's quoting Chizkiyah, and Chizkiyah is the Rebbe, that's why most Rishonim assume that we paskin like Reish Lakish here. Okay, we'll see why some Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in a little bit. But says Reish Lakish, there's a difference between Shor Mekusher and Bor Mechusa versus Gacheles, right? In this case, you are Potter, or in this case, you are Chayev, I meant, sorry. In this case, you are Chayev, and in this case, you are Potter. So, the Machlokes question is, you know, what does it mean? It's a very strange thing. The whole point of Kesher is that it's not Darkel and Turei. The whole point of Kislev is that it's not Darkel and Turei. So, says Rashi, no, it comes off. Tosa says that's the most ridiculous thing That's the most ridiculous thing ever. So Tosa says, he says, obviously it means it was properly tied and properly covered. Otherwise, we wouldn't call that Makusher and Mechusa if you tied or covered it improperly. So obviously it was properly tied. So why would you think it will come off? So he says, Dr. Mtuki Al Yidei Cheresh. So says Tosfos. And who agrees with Tosfos? The Rashba. Says Tosfos and the Rashba. Now, here it is. Darko Lintuke. Or Lintue. Al Yidei Cheresh. What it means is that it really, if you had left no one in charge of it, you'd be Potter. But since you left the Cheresh in charge of it, it's worse. Right? It's worse. And because Kirishot Makatan, come on, you leave your little kid with a tied up animal, for sure your little kid's going to untie the animal. It's just too tempting. You leave your little kid with a covered up boar, it's very exciting, the boar, for sure they're going to uncover the boar. You leave your little kid with a coal, it's not so posh. I'd be curious about the coal or something, but A, it's very hot, and B, it's like, it takes a little more chachma to be malaba the coal. So, and therefore, it's worse than leaving it alone. But the Gachelis in Ma'ami Ami of Azla says Tosos, the Ein Darko Labos Gachelis, Ein Derech Sherishot Rekatan Lilabos Gachelis. Right? So therefore, it's equivalent to leaving it alone. According to Tosfos, right, what's the Gemara trying to say? The Gemara is trying to say these three cases are fundamentally the same. If you left them alone, you'd be potter, because they're guarded. Yeah. But if you leave a Hirshot Makatan in charge, two of those cases become worse, because he's going to mess it up. And one of those cases does not become worse, because he's not going to mess it up. That's Tosfos' pshat in the Gemara. Okay, very reasonable.
Does Tosis mean that the window of time of the Gachelis is much shorter because it'll go out?
So, it is interesting, like, but I don't think that's what he means. Ein darko labos Gachelis,
Kemoshe. Because the Gemara
is before. Ma'am Yam V'Azla. Okay, it could have to do with the time, meaning, you know, you leave a Kirish to cut in charge of someone, it takes a while till, I assume, I leave a kid in charge of someone, of something, you know, for the first few minutes he'll behave. You know, and then eventually he'll mess up. So it could be that's the difference. The short of the boar, he has all day long to mess up. And therefore, he'll mess up. The gachelis, how long does the gachelis last? I don't know, anyone do barbecues? How long does the gachelis?
A long time.
A lot.
It stays hot for a while.
It stays hot?
No, I don't want it to stay hot, meaning that it could really, you could blow on it and it'll basically make a flame again.
You basically cook when it's out.
Yeah, so an hour, 2 hours, whatever. You know, not all day long. I'm pretty sure not all day long. You light a mangal, and at 9 in the morning, and you come back at 1 in the afternoon, I don't think you'll cook anything.
Isn't there some, there's a word that the rotem plant
I'm not talking about rotem. That okay, that's different. I'm not talking about rotem. Rotem plants is different, so don't tell Lashon Hara. Right, because the Gemara says that they feed you bach l'ritam and gehenna if you tell Lashon Hara. Yeah, okay, bye. That's Tosas. Rashi says differently. Rashi says no. It's darko lintuke and ture by itself.
Yeah.
So then you have to figure out what's the heiti timsi, right? So why would it come off by itself? So why would it come off by itself? After all, you tied it. Doesn't that mean it won't come loose? So what are your options? What did Chaim already say? He made assumptions in Rashi. Now, he's not the only one who made assumptions in Rashi. The Gilyon and the Shigun Gebetzes here made the same assumption in Rashi. And Kamir, that the Masifta makes the same assumption in Rashi, perhaps. I infer. But, okay, what did the Ravid say? What do Kinvids of the Ravid say against Tosos? I think we saw the Ravid, right?
Yeah.
What did the Ravid say? What was the Zokimta?
Kashar.
Exactly. He says very, very explicit in both places, right? This appears two places in the Mishnah Torah, one in Shor, one in Bor. Shalokaroi. Improperly. So this is the Ravid. Who else said this? Who's on our Makoro sheet? No one explicit. The Muki Yosef said the same thing in the back. He's not on our Makoro sheet. Says the Ravid. And the Muki Yosef. And maybe Rashi, right? That's the Gilyon things. And maybe the Rambam. That's what the Magen Mishnah thinks. Right? The Ravid says for the Rambam, it's only for Shlo Karoi. The Magen Mishnah says, yeah, Taka, that's what the Rambam meant. He meant Shlo Karoi. Right? So what is the case here? The case here is Darko Lintuke or Linture Me'atzmo. And why is it Darko Lintuke or Linture Me'atzmo? So you have to make a Okenta. What's the case? That Kashar or Kisa Shelo Karoi. Okay, then it's Pasha. If you're kosher, Machasa Shelo Karoi, then obviously you're Chayav, right? Because that's Lo Kisahu and Lo Kasher. That's Pshia.
The Rambam says you have Shvir Mu'ula.
What? Oh, sorry. I apologize. You're right. I apologize. Hold on.
The Magen Mishnah says
he means like Tosos. Thank you. Thank you for correcting me. Give me half a second. Yes. The Rambam Lefi Magen Mishnah. Right. The Rambam says you hide it or you covered it very well. The Rambam says, ridiculous. Why are you chayev? Must be with Shelo Karoi. The Magen Mishnah says back to that. Okay, we'll get that in a moment. So, but the Rambam, okay, Yosef and the Gilyon says that Rashi, even though Rashi didn't say the word Shelo Karoi, what did Rashi say? Rashi says, Bahavali la sukiya daite, shafilo ina charecherish matiro sofa lahatras atmo. Hilkach shmira re'uahi. He didn't say you didn't tie it properly. Just say you should have thought it would get untied. We'll come back to that in a moment. As opposed to a gacheles. Okay, let's think about this gacheles for a second. And we'll see what I think this shot is a bit of a weak shot. Is ein darko le labos, lehi labos, I don't know, me'atzmo. Right? Meaning, even though you didn't really guard it, right? FLP, Shalo Shamro. What's the difference? The difference is a gacheles will not, even if you don't guard it at all, will not naturally damage. A shore and a bar, if you don't guard them, will naturally damage. Okay, that's the difference. One will naturally damage. If you don't guard it, the other will not naturally damage if you don't guard it, right? Haraya. We all leave our gacheles lying around enough that they don't do anything, but we do not leave our bor open or our, right? If you leave your gacheles in your backyard, you wouldn't think that's dangerous. If you leave your shor running around, you wouldn't think that's dangerous. So that's the difference. Meaning, what's the difference? The difference is this is This is dangerous unless you guard it, and this is not dangerous even if you don't guard it. Okay. Yes.
Well, that's not true. If you have to lock both, you leave their fires that could call in, there's an open flame. They leave it sitting there and starts a fire.
That is a good question.
That's a lot of them. This assumption where they talk about one coal that's in the hand.
Maybe that's only because they leave them in the wrong place. And here you left it in the right place. Okay, or maybe we'll come back to it. Yesh la'ayin, maybe we will come back to it. However, I just want to point out, the Rambam, I don't think the Rambam, or Rashi. Rashi doesn't say it was Shelo Karoi. And the Rambam also, what's the Pashup Shot? Pashup Shot is, it was Karoi, right?
I think you have two questions on Rashi, that the Gemara is not parallel to Shelo Karoi.
Correct, then the Gemara is really not parallel, because, like for Tosos, the Gemara is parallel. If you left it alone, these two things are equal. Just they're different if you give the Hirshon to the Katan. For Rashi, they're not parallel. One is dangerous, one is not dangerous. It's sort of And Rashi will just say, you're right, it's not parallel. That's what the Gemara is pointing out.
Maybe this is a huge chiddush, but maybe you could say in Rashi that it didn't get out because the rope was a bad tie. It got out because of the chiddush of the katan. Meaning, in a chinam, we were talking about a bad tie, but the reason it got out was not because of the tie. Because of the
no, but then you're turning it into tosos.
No, then I'm saying, according to Rashi now, I mean, chiddush of ship, some honest, you'd be
no, but Rashi says, even if the chiddush of the katan doesn't do anything, it still gets out. Why does it get out?
Because of chiddush of the bonus.
No, he says the other way around. He says that even if the chiras let it out, it's chilasa b'pshia of getting out itself, and so the bonus of the chiras letting it out. Right? But it's chilasa b'pshia that it would get out on its own. Okay, says the Rambam. Let's just look at the lush of the Rambam for a moment, or both sides. Says the Rambam. Maser behemt el chiras shod v'katan, afi sheyishar kosher habaylim chayavim shedere chashor kayotzebo lahater kesher v'lotzeis lehazik. So what does the Rambam say? First of all, he says that it was kosher. Sounds like kosher karoi. Stam kosher is obviously kosher karoi. Right? So, and that's what the Rambam argues. He says, well, karoi. So what does the Magen say? If it was kosher karoi, why are you chayef?
He's going to say, it's the next line. The next line
is the even if the Kirish of the Katan guarded them well, I think it means even the Kirish of the Katan guarded them well. And nonetheless, it escaped your self chayef because it was a sheer self bonus. So I don't think that line is relevant to us. Okay, so then now I understand what you're trying to say. It sounds like a shmir ru'uya, but it doesn't sound like, what did the Magen Mishnah say? If it's shmir ru'uya, why am I chayef? I did a shmir ru'uya, right? Shmir ma'ula. If it's shmir ma'ula, why am I chayef? So the Ravid says, no. It's a eino mechos ve'eino kasha karoi. But the Rambam says, it seems clearly karoi. So the Magen Mishnah says that dark and shall eru leskot bem latira. No, because the chiras of the katan will let them out. And he turns around to the Tosfos. But I don't think that's what the Rambam sounds like. Says the Rambam, derech hashor v'kayotz v'lahatar akesher v'lotzer v'adli. He says clearly the shor is giving out to the kesher by itself. He doesn't say anything about the chiras of the katan doing it. I think the Magen Mishnah shot is exceedingly dachuk, if you'll allow me to say that. It's just not pashup shot in the Rambam. Okay, similarly when it comes to bor, it sounds like it's going to let itself out, and then the problem for the Rambam is if it's going to let itself, what do you mean? If you tie it up karoi, that's called shmira. What do you mean it would let itself out? What's shot? And Rashi also, he didn't say he didn't tie it properly. He said it's going to let itself out. So with Rashi, if you want to, you could turn him into, meaning the Rambam, I don't even understand how the Magen Mishnah turns it into Tosos. That's not what he says. It's there for the short of matter itself. Rashi, if you want to, you can turn it into the right. Say he meant it wasn't tied properly, it wasn't covered properly, but I think he would have said that. I think Pashas, they mean there was tied properly and covered properly, and nonetheless there's a problem. What is the problem? So, here, final Lumdish answer, just a practical solution, but I think it's a true practical solution. I think the answer is just Pashas and common sense. What's common sense? If I tie my ox, then I have fulfilled my chiyuv shmira. For how long? I tie my ox once, that's good enough forever? Or does it need maintenance? I have to go check on him once in a while. It sounds like that if I feed my ox once in a while, right? But I have to check on him once in a while. I have to keep my eyes on the ox. I cover my boar and then abandon it forever. No, I cover my boar. I have to keep an eye on my boar to make sure it is properly covered. I think that's what we'd all assume in common sense nowadays. I think it could be that what the Rambam and Rashi means is even kasha karoi and kisa karoi is only good enough if you keep an eye on it in the long run to make sure that it doesn't get undone. Every shore, if you tie it properly, is eventually going to get untied. You have to check once in a while. Every boar, if you cover it, is eventually going to get uncovered. You have to check on it once in a while. If you hand it over to a chiras shel katan, then what that means is you're divesting yourself of responsibility and saying, like, I don't have to keep checking on this. And that is the pagam in your shmira. That's what Chazon Ish says in the Rambam. I put it in brackets. Chazon Ish says in the Rambam, he says, what's pshat? Everything is eventually going to come loose. Therefore, you have to keep an eye on it. If I give it over a chiras shel katan, instead of keeping an eye on myself, then that is pshia, right? So I think that's Shan and Rashi also. Darko lintuke linture lizman meruba alpha p. Sorry, these colors don't mean anything. I'm just trying to get some ink out of this. Shekashar or kisa karoi m eino. What's the mashkiach alav? Right. Eventually, it will get dangerous. When we say it's good enough to tie it up and to cover it, that means if you check on it once in a while, if you give it over a shochir shos v'katan and don't check on it once in a while, in which case it could be, and don't check on it once in a while, then that's chiloso b'pshia. Could very well be. If you just gave it over a shochir shos v'katan for 5 minutes, maybe that would be okay, because you could just do nothing for 5 minutes, right? In a mashkiach alav, as opposed to a gacheles, which is. Which is ein darko lahazik, not just darko, e efshar, ein bo koach lahazik lizman liyah. That's the point. A boar and a shor have staying power, so you have to keep an eye on them. If you abandon them to a chershot v'katan, then you're posheya, even if they're properly tied. But a gachelis has no staying power. It's only going to be hot for a couple hours. And therefore, as long as you leave it someplace safe, that is that is good enough. In which case, I think the parallel is very clear, right? They are both guarded enough for now, guarded enough for now. They're both karoi, but not for the long term. In the long term, the shore and the boar need more maintenance, need to be checked on at least. Well, there is no long term for the gachelis. It's purely short-term item. And, you know, I think both Tosos, and if I'm saying the right shot in the Rambam, not me, the Chazanish, saying the right shot in the Rambam, makes a lot of sense. What we're saying is both these items are right now properly guarded. The difference is, according to Tosos, that one of them, the Chirshotin, makes it worse, the other one he doesn't. According to the Rambam, one of them will not last in the long term, while the other one has no long term. This Shita, of the Chazanish, the Rambam, I think I found in the Milchamos. I think that's exactly what Milchamos is saying. It's a total tangent of Milchamos. I didn't tell you to read the beginning. He has a machlokas with the Balamor as to whether Chilasa B'Shiv Sofa Onis is Chayvin Bor or not. Okay, it's own Inyan. And then he, as a total tangent, brings in our Gemara and says, what does he say about our Gemara? He says, right, very clear. What's the pshia? Nothing with chirushot makata. Right, the pshia is he should have came around to check whether camels, which are the biggest animals they had there, or people stepping very hard on it might have weakened it. He should have come to check once in a while. Since he didn't, that is a pshia. And okay, then he gets into his topic there. So I think this first Mochamos is the Chazanish of Shabbat Rama. And I think this is, you know, this is Pashup Shat and Rashi and Rama. It's a fascinating question. It is a fascinating question, meaning how long do you have to go between checking on it? And how long did it take till, like, let's say I was supposed to check every other day. And if for 4 hours this somehow got messed up, that's the most Shiva's bonus, depending on whether I plan to check every other day, or is it not the most Shiva's bonus till 2 days from now? So the Ramban's not clear about that. I'm going to leave that with Sarkian for now.
Whatever you determine, let's say you determine the amount of time, but doesn't the Chereshuvah Katan sort of change the equation? In other words, once you have a chesed, you have to check more in the chorah.
That's what Tosos thinks, but that does not.
No, I think once you have a foreign element there, And all of your assumptions and your experimentation and the way you come to a conclusion of how much shmira you need has to be off.
Okay, lav davka. Lav davka. Oh, all I'm claiming is lav davka. It could very well be. Lav davka. It could very well be that the Rishonim other than Tosfos, and remember, even Tosfos is about to say this, but Dasar Yochanan, think that a Kherishot V'katan is not dangerous. Think that Kherishot V'katans are relatively trustworthy. Who says he's going to mess up? I don't know. Who says he's going to mess up? I'm not sure.
Doesn't Rashi seem to be going another step? Because it says,
which is exactly what the Ramban says. Even if the Kherishot V'katan untied it, you are chayav, even though you shouldn't be chayav for that, because... Yeah, which is exactly what the Ramban says. Meaning, it sounds from Rashi, in my humble opinion, that I know Aaron's going to argue about that, that really you don't have to be choshesh that the Kherishot V'katan will untie it. Really, that is considered to be an unlikely scenario. The only reason you're chayav Kherishot V'katan to untie it is because it's chilas of Shia, because it would have untied itself eventually. And I think therefore even argument Tzias on Tosfos, which is not so crazy, because Tosfos himself thinks that Rav Yochanan argument Tzias on his Pshat and Rish Lakish squared to this. So that's why I think that Tosfos Davka thinks, Rashi Davka thinks, that it's not Derech Lintuki Lintuki on Kherishot V'katan. That's only Chayev, because it's Chosim Shiv Sof Onas, and that's also Mefurish in the Ramban. Okay, the Ramban is not so Mefurish, which is why the Magen Mishnah says he means like Tosfos. excuse me. Now let's go on to, I want to come back to this after we look at Rav Yochanan for a moment. But basically we have three pshatim, why there's a strange phenomenon. What's the strange phenomenon of Rav Yochanan? The Gachelis is not the strange phenomenon. That's ma'amya amya ve'azva. You could say it's highly unlikely that it will create a hezek. I have a coal in my backyard. Highly unlikely it'll create a hezek, even with a kirishot to the katan, and therefore I am potter. Why am I chayev for short? Mekusher and bor mechosa, which are also highly unlikely to make a hezek. So either because with the Kherishot V'katan they're likely to make a hezek, or because I didn't cover them properly and I didn't buy them properly, so they're likely to make a hezek, or right now they're guarded properly, but in the long run they're likely to make a hezek. And if you ask, why am I bringing the long run into this? After all, we're in our Gemara ever talk about the long term versus the short term. I'll say our Gemara did very well, man. It's all talking about what's going to happen in the long term. Let's go on to Rabbi Yochanan then. And then maybe we'll come back and view it on even a deeper level. Says the continuing the Gemara. Ulu Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Afilu Masul shall have us nami potter, right? Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish argue in the original argument is on Dafman Tesam base. Maybe going on to Samach Chaman Aleph. The Mishnah says Shalech Zabeir V'Yadchir Shol Tvekatan is potter b'dini other b'chay b'dini shemayim. Right, including a Brahma of some sort, chay b'dini shemayim, but you're potter in Besdin. Where Rish Lakish says, you're only potter in Gachelis, or Shalheves, your chayim. And Rav Yochanan says, no, you're potter even on a Shalheves. So according to Rav Yochanan, Damar Filo Maslo Shalheves Nami Potter, Dachvasa Hacham Shor Mutter Marugula. What's a Shalheves? Shalheves is like a Shor Mutter and a Bor Magula, right? It's something which is already a damaging object, hasn't damaged yet, but no one's guarding it. The answer is Hasan Tzavtel Chirish Ka Garim Hacha Lo Tzavtel Chirish Ka Garim. According to everyone, Bar Rabbi Yeshaya in the Shiva Bet says we know what this means. It means that by the boar and the shore, it's not Tzavtel the Chirish that was Garim, by the Eish, but Tzavtel the Chirish that was Garim. Okay, we just don't know what that means, like what the even common sense logic behind that is. So, let's figure this out. Let's go to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, what is the b'risa being mechalik between a shor mutter and a bor megula? Where obviously you're chayav, that's the repushin. I don't think we need a lot of work to explain why you're chayav for leaving a shor mutter and a bor megula. That's classic of the zikin. But a shalheves, you are potter, and what the Gemara seems to say is because the bor megula and the shor mutter, it's not sabta the chirish kogarim, it's not the chirish of the mekatan who makes it damage. While the shalheves, it is the chirish of the mekatan who makes it damage. the assumption is that this shalheves alone would still not have burned anything, if not for the Kirish Shota Vikata. But what actually, what do we mean by Tzavta Kirish Gagarim? Obviously, Shalheves is different than a Gachelis, which is, it is an open flame. It is a dangerous item. If it's not a dangerous item, then it's like a Gachelis. It shouldn't be compared to a Shorm Mutter Rum Gula. Obviously, it is a dangerous item. If it is a dangerous item, then why are you Potter? Who cares about Tzavta Dechiris Kogarim? So here, we have two or three fundamentally different ways of looking at it. The simple way to look at it is, well, what does Tosa say, for example? Here, what does Tosa say?
The Chirish is watching it a little bit.
The Chirish of Bekotten, they help a little. Unlike, according to Rish Lakish, Chirish of Bekotten hurt. No, they help a little. Do they help enough to guard an untied ox? No. It's really hard to restrain an ox. Do they help enough to guard an open pit? No, it's hard to guard an open pit. Do they help enough to guard a Shalheves, even though Shalheves is a dangerous item? It is a dangerous item, otherwise it wouldn't be a comparison, otherwise it would be no chiddush. You know, if it's a non-dangerous item, then what's the point? What's the chiddush? No, so it is dangerous, says Tosfos, that here it is dangerous item, and the chiddush shot the katan can't guard it. Well, this is also a dangerous item. But the Chirish of Katan can guard it. Okay, says Tosos right here. Ulur Rabbi Yochanan, etc. The Mashli, the time of Rabbi Yochanan, the Potter, the Shudra Katan, Shomro, Veina Katan, Osa Hezekel, Adrava, Osa Shmira. Okay. That the katan makes a shmir, meaning these are both dangerous items if you would leave them in and of themselves, right? Both dangerous items. If you left them alone, they'd both be dangerous, right? So here the Chirish Shots Makatan is better than leaving it alone. Well, in this case, the Chirish Shots Makatan is equivalent to leaving it alone. Okay, that is Tosus's shot. The Tosus of Inperitz is even more clear. About this. Tosus and Daf Chabez and Beis Lamaskana Sasogya. We'll see the Havmin in a moment. We'll see the context of the Havmin in a moment. Tosus and Daf Chabez and Beis says. Okay, Shalheves is not as dangerous as a shore. We're not sure exactly what he means by Shalheves is not as dangerous as a shore. You know, maybe he means the same thing here. It's not as dangerous as a shore when you hand it over to Kirsha for Katan. Right? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Tosin Chabez and Beis meant the same thing he said on Tesla Beis or something else? We'd hope, you know, normally we'd be biased to think that Tosin should be consistent. No? What does he say? The reason for Rabbi Yochanan is Shalheves is lo bari hezeka kamo shor. It's not so dangerous. So I don't know if he meant not so dangerous when it's being guarded by Chirish Shot V'Katan, or not so dangerous and therefore Chirish Shot V'Katan can guard it, or if he meant not so dangerous even if you leave it alone. Right? Not 100% clear what happens if you leave a Shalheves alone. I can't say I'm 100%. certain. Maybe Tosfos Daf Chaf Beis and Beis says this is Bari Hezeka, and this is one is dangerous, one is not. You leave a dangerous item, that's a problem. You leave a not so dangerous item, and that is not a problem.
The Mars Lashon is Bari.
What?
Mars Lashon is Bari Hezekah.
The Gemara's Lashon, not here. Yeah. Although it doesn't say Riochan says La Bar Yezeka. But it seems to imply that, okay, and the question is why, if you just take this, out of context, out of test, it sounds like one is dangerous, one is not dangerous, which then becomes a little dachuk, then why are we comparing them in the first place? Right, if one is dangerous and one is not dangerous, why are we comparing them in the first place? After all, if they're both dangerous, but one, a chirish lef b'katan can guard, then I understand the chirish, they're both dangerous, but there's a difference, chirish lef b'katan. Here it just sounds like stam, it's not dangerous. But that also is what Rabbeinu Yeshaya sounds like. If you look at Rabbeinu Yeshaya, in the Shittim Gubetzes, sorry, I just have to find the Shittim Gubetzes. Give me half a second. V'zeu Lashon, no. Tessin Bays. Rabbeinu Yeshaya. In the Maskana, not in the Havmina, he says, Hasan Tzadid Chiris Kagarim Lashum and Mashmi Brahem Megara Hashor Lahazik, Vabor the Natura Kisoy, Vahavalei Bari Hezeka. No, one is Bari Hezeka. You have to figure out exactly what he means by. He says, one is Bari Hezeka, one is not Bari Hezeka. Now, here, I admit, his Lashon is a little funny because he talks about for the cover to fall off. And I thought, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about an uncovered boar. Right? So his Lashon is a little funny. Maybe it means an improperly covered door. it says, one, the chir shaltim katam will for sure make a damage. The other, the chir shaltim katam will not make a damage. Here's a little funny, because an uncovered boar and an untied ox will damage even without the chir shaltim katam, right? So we're not sure exactly what he means by this. Right, you're saying, unless he means like Tosos in the Testament base, and maybe Rabbi Yeshaya also means the same thing. This is Bari Hezeka. There's not one is a dangerous thing, the other is a non-dangerous thing, right? A boar and a shore will naturally damage, at least if you will fool around with it, while a shalheves will not naturally damage things, even if people fool around with them a little. Then it just becomes a little difficult. Like, why are we comparing them in the in the first place, right? So just like here, so a little bit of a sort of eon. This is just not dangerous. Dangerous versus not dangerous. Okay. The most interesting shot is, of course, the Tosus Rit. What does the Tosus Rit say? So here it's based on the Gemara Nafkaf Beis and Beis. The Gemara Nafkaf Beis and Beis has at least a Havamina, if not a Maskana, to tie this into the Machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish about the nature of Eish. What's the famous Machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish about the nature of Eish? Is it Isha Mishom Chitzav or Isha Mishom Mamona? Right? What's the personal favor I requested everyone at the beginning of the year in the Shir about the Shitzav of Yochanan? Not to say Isha Mishom Chetzio, but to say, maybe Ishto Mishom Chetzio, but Isha Mishom Chitzav. Isha Mishom Chitzav. And that's before the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Toshma, etc. Bishlom Lamanor Isha Mishom Chitzav. I understand why you're Potter. It's the Chitzav of the Cherish, it's not your Chitzav. Elmanor Isha Mishom Amono. Why shouldn't you be Chayav? Okay. And then they say, no, well, Reish Lakish holds Mamono, says it's okay, because you're chay if you give him a shalheves. All right, so what exactly seems to tie this into the Machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish? How did this tie into the Machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish? Right? So, here it is not 100% clear how this ties into the Machlokas. Bigyoch Mishlach. Basically, this question, Shalheves, what does the Gemara say? If you hold Ishim Shalchitzav, I understand how you're potter on a Shalheves. Why you're potter on a Shalheves. But if you hold Ishim Shalmom, Ishim Chayav on a Shalheves, Bigyoch Mishlach says you are Chayav on a Shalheves. So, says the Gemara, at least the Havamina. Right? Gemara, and Dav Kof Beis Amid Beis says that Rabbi Yochanan holds Mishum Chitzav, and he says Shalhevis is Potter. Rish Lakish holds Mishum Amono, and he says Shalhevis is Chayav, and only Gechelis is Potter. So, what does that have to do with whether Isho Mishum Chitzav or Isho is Mishum Mamono? Right, again, let's review the difference. Isha Mishum Chitzav means when I light a fire and that fire gets out of hand, it's as if I be a dying burnt everything, like I shot an arrow, which is Kocho Kagufo, which is like Adam Amazik. Well, Isha Mishum Amono means my fire is like my short, it's my property that got out of hand. And it's not Adam Amazik, it's Mamon Amazik. So what does this have to do with anything? So Tosos thinks, what does Tosos say? So it says, you know what the Havmina is? The Havmina is, if it's Chitzav, you need, you're only Chayav if, what's his Lashon? Let me find his Lashon. Lamandar Isham Shem Chitzav, Loma Chayav Alba Ishav Lahazagro Matsuya Harbe Vikaro Levadai has Chitzav. If Isham Shem Chitzav, you're only Chayav if it was very likely to be mazik, because it only gets you doing something if you set up a situation that's very likely. If Isha Mishum Amono, you're chayav even if it's somewhat likely to be mazik, because when your mamon is mazik, right? Think about mamono, my boar and my shorty, somewhat likely to be mazik, I'm chayav. But Ish can be considered my mamon mazik if it's somewhat likely to be mazik. Ish is only considered to be my action if it's very likely to be mazik, then it's like I did an action. So that's what Tosos says in the Havamina. He says, Leman da amar chitzav chayev rak if it's karov levadai sheyazik. Vishalheves eina karov levadai. Right, Manda Rechitzav says you're chayiv. We thought Manda Rechitzav was a chumrah. It's yourself. And the Gemara says it's a chumrah. There's many not. The Gemara says chitzav is a chumrah. Like for example, you're chayiv for nezek tzar, rivoshevs and boshes, because if you did it yourself, unlike shor and bor, which is only chayiv for nezek. But it's also kula, since chitzav is my action. It's only my action if it was karel levadai sheyazik, like shooting an arrow, which is karel levadai sheyazik. While Rish Lakish holds in Mamono, Leman da Amar Mamono, Chayav, I don't know if Tosas has a phrase for this, in Yochol Lahazif. Vishal Heves, Yochol Lahazif. Okay, they have different standards for how likely the Nezik has to be. Rish Lakish would say Ishum Shemamono. Just like Bor, if it's 20% likely to be Mazik Amchayev for not guarding it. Just like Shor, if it's 20% likely to be Mazik Amchayev for not guarding it. Eish, if it's 20% likely to be Mazik Amchayev for not guarding it. So Amchayev for leaving my Shalheves with Chirishot to the Katan. While Rabbi Yochanan says no. Because Ishum Shem Chitzav, Ishum is an action. Just like an action, I'm actually doing 100%. I'm only Chayev if my fire is 80% likely to be Mazik. Shalheves is not 80% likely to be mazik, so it's not ish. Okay. Tosos thinks that can't be the maskana of the Gemara, and that would work out very nicely. Then, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish and Lushitasam, the machlok is about Shalheves. Remember, the explicit machlok is about Shalheves, right? Rabbi Yochanan thinks for Shalheves, you are potter. Rish Lakish thinks the Gachel is a potter, but Shalheves is chayev. Is Lushitasam, whether it's chitzav or mamono. However, Tosos thinks that can't be the maskana. Why? Why does Tosos think that can't be only the maskana? Because what's the maskana of the whole sugya of chitzav and mamono? That Rabbi Yochanan's mode that there are tzvei dinim in ish. Rabbi Yochanan's mode that it's chayim shem chitzav or mishem mamono. That there are two chiyuvim in ish.
Right? In which case, you can't explain machlokes anymore. Because they both agree there's a chiyuv of mamono. Just Rabbi Yochanan thinks there's a chiyuv of mamono and also chitzav. Reish Lakish thinks only mamono. But if they both think there's a chiyuv of mamono, even if it's 20% likely to be mazik, they should both think you're chayiv, so they should both think the chayiv shall have us. So Tosa says this can't be only the maskana. And you're right. If you take Tosa's pshat, it can't be only the maskana. Also the maskana, what's their machlokes? So he says, well, look in the Gemara, as someone pointed out here. Here's the word bar yezeka. Tosos. Lefi maskana, and Tosos being a parrot there is very clear. It's not l'shitasim anymore. It's not l'shitasim chitzim mono. It's coincidental. Could it be coincidence? Yeah, there could be coincidences, right? Maybe in some deep theological, mystical level, no. But on the strictly halachic, analytical level, yes, it's coincidence. So here, we're saying it's l'shitasim, and here it's not l'shitasim. Tosos doesn't say the word not l'shitasim nafchafez and phase, but the other version of Tosos, like Tosos and Barretz, are saying explicitly. It is not l'shitasim, it is coincidence. Rabbi Yochanan just holds that a shalheves is lo bari hezeka. It's not so dangerous. And Reish Lakish holds that a shalheves is very dangerous. Or if you wish, if you want to integrate Tosos with Tosos nafchafez and phase, one of them holds that Shalheves is not dangerous if a Chir Shatav Katan guards it. And the other one holds that it's dangerous if a Chir Shatav Katan guards it. Right? So what can we add? Okay. We're gonna. You could add, just move this up, Tosos and Daf Tesav Beis. Also, they're not Lishitasav. No, nothing of Chitav and Mamono. Just Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shalheves is nishmar through a chayr shel tibakatan, and Reish Lakish says that a shalheves is not nishmar al chayr shel tibakatan. Okay, again, it could be that Tosaf Chavez and Beis meant that, it could be he meant stam. In the end, for Tosaf, it's not l'shitasav. However, there certainly are those who think that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are l'shitasav. And this actually affects the issue of psak. Because the Rabbeinu Hananel, for example, on Daf Chaf Beis Amud Beis says, let me just find it for a second. Behelchzak Rabbi Yochanan bechulhu. Behelchzak Rabbi Yochanan bechulhu. It looks like Rabbi Yochanan about everything. Sounds like even about the issue of shalheves in our sukkah. Why shalheves Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not actually true. Give me a second. Okay, there are those who possibly like to, I'll come back to it in a second. What do we want to say? Leave Rin Chanel for now. It's not Mocher. What Tosos Rid says the Tosos Rid says the Tosos Rid. He says no. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are absolutely l'shitasam. How are they l'shitasam? But you can't say. See, where did Tosos go wrong and end up in a dead end and not be able to say l'shitasam? He said, they're l'shitasam, they have different standards for me and my ish. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm a chayiv if I was created a very dangerous thing. Reish Lakish said, I'm a chayiv if I created a moderately dangerous thing. That's not the only maskana, because Rabbi Yochanan also admits to Shemamono. Says that Tosos read there, he says the other way around. He says, it's not about my ish. It's about the Chir Shot of Katan's role. What's the role of the Chir Shot of Katan? What's the difference? If you hold Isho Mishum Mamono, right? If you hold Isho is only Mamono, then it is my Mamono, right? I lit the fire. It's my Gachelis. If the Chir Shot of Katan fools around with it, does that make it not my Mamono? It's still my Mamono. But if you hold Isho Mishum Chitzav, then hold on a second. This was my Gachelis. When the Chir Shot of Katan made it worse, what did he do? He shot an arrow. Hold on. If someone shoots my arrow, my chayev? Someone shoots my arrow, my chayev? What do you think?
not Rashi Tosis.
Good. Okay. We'll come back to that in a moment, whenever that is. L'chor not. The point is that he takes the Gemara literally. Chitz of the Chirashim. Tosos understood Chitz of the Chirashim means love Chitz of the Balabais. Right? What does it mean, Rabbi Yochanan said in the Hav mean that your potter l'shitase? It's not my chitzim, it's his chitzim. Says no, it's my chitzim, it's also chitzim. Says Rabbi Brin, what does Rabbi Yochanan hold? Rabbi Yochanan holds that the chitz of the chayresh is mafkia the chiyov of the bailam. Because the chitz of the chayresh, if it's someone else's maisa, then I can't be held responsible because it's someone else's maisa. Or that someone else is not a bar das, doesn't matter, they're still a human being. Right? And the rib will have to be the shitase. You mean tafaf of an aleph? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, yeah.
And don't worry, he is. So he says, what's his point? He says, he's the only one who takes the Gemara literally. I don't know why more people don't take the Gemara literally. He says, chitzav de chayrishim, meaning, since it's a maisa of another person, I can't be chayiv. I can't be chayiv on something done by another human being. If another human being does it, it's his responsibility, not mine. Ah, he's a chirishot v'katan, he's not a responsible human being. Doesn't matter, he's still a human being. While for Ish Lakish, it's not the maisa of the chirishot v'katan. Right? Why is it not the maisa of the chirishot v'katan? Because he says, Ish is never anyone's maisa. Ish is Shemamono. Not the maisa of chirishot v'katan. So I am chayav for not guarding the shalheves. It's just based on one assumption. The assumption is, and I'll show you two Tosfos Rids in Shitase, more or less. and I think this is Pashim Shah in the Gemara. If it's someone else's maisa, then I cannot, you can't hold me responsible for the maisa of another human being. You might hold me responsible for the maisa of an animal. You might hold me responsible for something that was indirectly affected by some other human being. But if you did a maisa, I can't be held responsible because it's your responsibility. The chayrish takes over the responsibility. So this depends whether Isha is Mishum Chitzav or not. If Isha is Mishum Chitzav, and this is better than Tosfos, even if it's also Mishum Mamono, but it's Mishum Chitzav. Once it's the maisa of the chayrish, you can't hold me responsible. It's someone else's maisa. Rish Lakish is also Isha Mishum Mamono. It's the maisa of nobody. It's the maisa of the Ish. Right? Who did the maisa? He says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rish Lakish, it is the maisa of the Ish. It's not the mice of anyone. Who's responsible for the mice of the Eish? Whoever should have guarded it, I should have guarded it because it was my fire. According to Rabbi Yochanan, no. It's the mice of Chayrish. Ah, I should have guarded it. Yes, I should have guarded it. But if it's the mice of another human being, he's responsible and not me. The mice of Reuven is Mafkia, the Pshia of Shimon. It makes irrelevant the Pshia of Shimon.
That was true. Why did the Gemara come on the time of Rabbah by Nezek Eved?
Why would the Gemara come on to the time of Rabbah by an Eved? if the mice of Chirshot Bekatan is Mafkia my responsibility, the mice of the Eved should also be Mafkia my responsibility. I will answer, I want to see what the Rid says there, but I will answer for the Tosus Rid that made, we had a Hakira. At the time, do you remember Hakira at the time? Is the Havamina that I am chayiv for not guarding my Eved? Or is the Havamina the Eved's chayiv? That says I'm the owner, I have to pay because as the owner, I take on the chiyuv of the Eved. Maybe you could say for the Rid, it's not the Havamina that I'm responsible for not guarding him. No, it's his Maisa, it's his Maisa. Maybe according to the Rid, the Havamina was that he's responsible, but as the owner, I own all his responsibilities and I would have to pay. And because of the time of Rabbah, would make me not pay. So I can get out of it that way. I want to look at the Rid there and see if he fits in or not. Okay, but we have to stop.
But Chitza implies Bailus to an extent.
No, not at all. If I shoot anyone's arrow, it's just as much my Maisa. Okay, Rabosai, I want to just... I think we finished most of what was on the Makoros here. Yeah. I want to continue. I want to throw in, I'll give you on the Makoros, a few more rids to Lishitase throughout the Masechet on this. And then I want to look at the Ra'ah that I put in brackets and maybe get a little one level deeper and then go on. Okay, so we'll continue this conversation in Mirtz Hashem on Thursday.